New Year. Apologies, because the sermon for today on the notices was going to be one thing, a new series of the unseen reality, the unseen realm, and exploring a whole topic, things like the Council of Gods or Elohim and Job and all sorts of things. And actually, it's going to change this morning. I've got my hands up. I'm going to say things in preparing for today. Actually, the message was going to be very different, and I'm just going to have to do it. So for those who are expecting one thing based off the notices, it's not going to be that. So apologies. And I'll communicate and I'll talk through reasons why, maybe members meeting coming up and with the leaders and with the trustees this week. So the message this morning, instead, one would hope that all messages shared here is a message of hope. But actually today is specifically going to talk about hope in the face of adversity. For those who haven't been worshipping with us in the last couple of months or so, we have been going through the armour of God, looking at that recognise that we are in a spiritual battle, and recognising that prayer is a powerful weapon, peace that comes, that transcends all understanding, but that we are in this battle from a place of victory because Jesus Christ has already won. So that is the first, that, you know, we've been going through that. So this morning's message is sort of along those lines, but specifically talking about hope. I don't have the clicker, so can we have the next slide, please? So sin, as we know, maybe you don't know, but as we know, sin is a rebellious attempt to reject God and substitute ourselves for him as the rightful ruler of the universe. So I would often preach from this pulpit, and I'll continue to say, and I do believe, that actually we're all sinners. There is not one, thank you very much. I say I've got this, but I might not be able to get it to work. It's an ongoing thing. I believe in 2026 that this is going to work. I've pressed it, nothing's happened. See? Oh no, go back. That's too far. Okay, worked. Okay, so we are all sinners. I do believe that. I believe that not one of us is ever going to be perfect. Only Jesus Christ is perfect as our Lord and Saviour. I do believe that sin is almost, we looked at this word, it's like a trial. We get tempted. We get attacked from all sorts of areas in our lives. I do believe that. And sin can outwork inside and infect. It's like an infection. If it's not dealt with, can really have a knock-on effect to those around us, to our own lifestyles, in our very way we live. And that's not very attractive. We want to reflect and represent Jesus Christ as best as we can, not in our own strength, but through the love, the grace, and mercy of Jesus Christ. And when we surrender to Jesus, often a sign of that is to kneel down and surrender, our heart posture. We want to offer our all to Jesus. We want to say, Jesus, recognize that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm messed up. And I know that we live in a fallen and broken world. But by your love, by your strength, by your grace, by your mercy, please help. Come and take control. Be the Lord in my life. I don't want to be the one in control anymore. You are the rightful ruler of this life. And often sin really is when we try and get in the way, or we allow things that are not of heavenly kingdom to outwork itself. And we know in Galatians, clearly Galatians 5, it talks about the life of the spirit and the life of the sinful nature. So sin ultimately is a rebellious attempt to reject God and substitute ourselves for him as the rightful ruler of the universe. Okay, so Satan's plan against you and I: doubt, discouragement, diversion, defeat, and delay. Just take a moment to look at that list and to look at what doubt is, makes you question God's word and his goodness. And just think, pause and go, has that happened to me this past year? Have I come this morning with that? I'm carrying this sense of doubt. If you have taken notes, maybe write down a couple of prompts or thoughts that come to mind. Actually, I am doubting. I am questioning God's word and his goodness. I'm not feeling God's goodness. Is God good? How can God be good when there's this in the world? When my loved one is struggling? Discouragement makes you look at your problems rather than at God. It's so easy to get discouraged. We can have all these great, I'll call them mountaintop moments of worshiping, praying, knowing that Jesus is real, the Holy Spirit is living and breathing, and God is our Father, and he's just, wow. But how quickly life, events, emotions, problems come. And we will face trials. It is going to happen. Things will go wrong. But in that, in those moments, there is always hope in Jesus. He gives us the way to cope, the way to navigate through when we surrender and trust him. Diversion makes the wrong things seem attractive so that you'll want them more than the right things. Now, in a really silly way, I don't know if I'm alone in this, but I have stuffed myself over Christmas with cakes, with chocolate, with Christmas cake. Oh, our friend makes a really good Christmas cake. We have no idea he can make Christmas cake, and it is so good. Panettone, like, oh. Anybody got remnants of chocolate and nibbles left still? Anybody going, I want to make New Year's resolutions, although we've got to be careful with that. I want to lose weight. This is the year when I'm finally going to lose weight. And you see the bit of chocolate there and you're like, oh. Makes the wrong things seem attractive so that you'll want them more than the right things. You know, it's so easy as well. I get into a habit or a sense of lifestyle where you're watching films or whatever it may be. I'm not bashing films. Films are great in the right context. But it's more the habitual lifestyle. How easy and how quickly we go, how much time have I spent in this? And that my Bible was just gathering dust. You think, I know that's the right thing, but oh, this is so much easier. I haven't got time to really read the Bible. I haven't got time to be still and to reflect. Well, have a look at your screen time use on your phone, and that'll tell a whole different story. Unless, of course, you've got the Bible app on your phone and the screen time shows that you're just hours looking at the Bible. Defeat. Satan wants us to feel defeated. Makes us feel like a failure so that we don't even try. You're never going to be good enough. Oh, there you go again. You mess up again. You call yourself a Christian. You've written this book, or you've spoken from the pulpit here, or you've written this song, or you lead this team of people, or you've done this in your life, but you can't even get over this hurdle. Defeat. And that delay, this is an interesting one, that delay, makes you put off doing something so that it never gets done. I'm going to share something. I might have shared it before. I haven't spoken to this person, so I'm not going to say this person's name. But years ago, how long now? Was Ben born? I'm looking, Ellie's my wife, for those who don't know. So we're living in Newcastle, and somebody who's written some quite well-known songs, Christian songs, I had the opportunity to go around their house and share one of our songs we've written. And it was great conversation. What an opportunity. It's about 20 years ago. I was Ben, 15. So about 17 years ago. Approximately 17 years ago. Now, I've had pictures and words and prophecies, all loads of stuff about leadership and music and all sorts of different things in the past. And I thought, this is an opportunity. This person's got, he's like a really great songwriter, good songs. And then different comments here and there. One of the songs kind of tore it apart a bit constructive. But some of this, the words he said, now I'm not saying that this person was Satan incarnate. Very good guy, amazing guy. But it's incredible how sometimes words that seem positive or constructive, how the enemy can twist it. How the devil comes and turns what is there to be positive and constructive into something that is damaging and hurtful. Now, I didn't do anything with that song since. I haven't written really any songs, really, since. I haven't published or released anything since. That was over 17 years ago. Makes you put off doing something so that it never gets done. I'm getting back into songwriting, by the way, just to say. Opposition. The early church, all throughout history, all throughout time, to current day, opposition becomes a catalyst for the growth of the believing communities. We hear time and time again of persecuted churches all across the world. Persecution. Horrific stories. I've put an Open Doors there because I've got the new Open Doors prayer thing through. But persecuted church, that goes on all the time. But when people are amongst the persecution, why is it that often see the faith, the communities thrive, even though it's some of the most horrific circumstances? God is able to work through any diversity, truly. And there's stories here in this very room, and those may be watching online, where I'm sure you could say, if it wasn't for Jesus, I would not be here today. If you are a faithful witness for Jesus, you also can expect opposition. That kind of goes with it. Hello.
I am the angel Gabriel.
Can we take those away? Yeah.
Sorry, he was the angel Gabriel now. So,
I am the angel Gabriel.
It's great. It's brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, that's subtle. Yeah, just snuck in. No one's noticed. It's fine. No one's noticed. But we're going to face opposition. When we profess Jesus, when we live, it's countercultural. It doesn't make sense to love, to serve, to go and reach out to the lost, the broken. Those who don't look like us, smell like us, talk like us. To go to the margins. To not swear. To not get drunk. To not look at loads of porn or any porn. To not treat our partners abusively. To love. To forgive. The kingdom of heaven is not a normal thing in this world. It should be, but it's going to come across opposition. The devil is abusing, and as I said before, trying to destroy God's created beings. That's you and I. But amongst the opposition, if we're facing opposition, when we face opposition, when we get challenged, when we get pressured, when we get pushed, never be afraid to share the good news of Jesus. Please, this is a message for me as well, to never allow fear of man to stop us from speaking Jesus. no matter how much, no matter what opposition we face, may we never be silenced, at no matter what cost. God has the power to turn any opposition into growth for his kingdom. Hallelujah. I do like messaging with enthusiasm. You may have noticed. I realise just got it, there's quite a lot to go. Hope in the midst of crisis. Hope in Jesus always rewards. Hope, why is it a key to a life of faith? Hope in the new heaven and earth. Hope in the Messiah's return. Hope in death. Hope how it helps us live now. Hope, antidote for boredom. Hope because God is in control of history. I'm going to highlight a couple of those passages. So hope, why is it a key to a life of faith? 1 Corinthians, turn with me please, 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 56. I just have to get my notes because this Bible is a chronological Bible and it's really thrown me because it's not in the normal order. And so I can't just go and find the book and get it. It's all over the place, chronological Bibles. So I've written the page number down here. So it's not like in the usual 1 Corinthians place. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 56. This is one of my Christmas presents. A new Bible, because I haven't got 50 already. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Satan seemed to be victorious when you read in Genesis when Eve fell to temptation, then Adam, and then sin was outworked in our lives, in this world. Satan seemed to be victorious when Jesus died on the cross. But God turned Satan's apparent victory into defeat when Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? Amen? Death has been defeated. And we have a hope beyond the grave because of Jesus. Let's say that again. Death has been defeated. We have a hope that goes beyond the grave because of Jesus Christ. Death, no longer a source of dread or fear. Recognize death is scary, still unknown. We don't really know fully what happens. However, we do know that we will be raised again with Jesus when we die, if he hasn't already come back. If he comes back now, we'll just be taken straight. Yes. But there's a hope for eternity because of Jesus. That hope. How does it help us to live now? Philippians 3, 13 to 14. Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth onto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Race. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. I'm sure that in sailing, I don't know. Daniel, I don't know anything about sailing other than it's a boat. And it's on water, ideally. And there's a sail. But within the mechanisms of a race in sailing, there will be a team that's involved, no matter how big or small, depending on the size of the boat. There will be wind conditions, weather conditions, where you put the sail, how you tie the ropes, all those things. You have to keep your eyes focused on what is essential to be able to even consider being winning the race or being part of the race in a productive way. As Christians, when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, we're in this race. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. There are distractions all over the place, as we talked about, different cults, different sects, different expressions of Christianity that has got warped and distorted. And we'll touch on some of these. Keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Training. If we want to become better at living, generally we want to have a better diet, we want to get fit in terms of a practical life, physical life, all these things. If we want to save for something, you have to put money aside. You know, we can always do better in our lives. But as a Christian, what are we training for? Becoming better at living according to God's will. What is God's will? Read the Bible. A lot is in here. In fact, everything's in here. If you don't know where to look, there's a concordance at the back of most Bibles. Get a study Bible. Study the Word of God. Pray. Spend time. Not just reading it to amass information, as I often say here, or anywhere, but to change. It's a mirror that reflects who we are. It's got to change us from the inside out. God's Word transforms us. There should be transformation. I think if we read Scripture and if we have a faith, but it isn't impacting our lives in any way at all, what is that? It's not just a book. And to fight, spiritual battle is real. Persevere until the end, knowing we fight from the place of victory in Christ. So God's plan for us, these are just a couple of comments. These are just a few things. So where there is doubt with Satan, we have an assurance with Christ, a hope, a future. Where there's discouragement, we can have belief in something that is so much bigger, in someone that is so much greater from that place of surrender, that belief and hope. In diversion, focus, a sharp focus. That when we focus on Jesus, when we focus on God's word, his scripture, his truth, when we worship, when we praise, it's all part of our worship. That focus comes and all the other stuff, the distractions, the temptations just melt away. They fade away, the noise, the demands. To know that we are victorious in Jesus, not defeated. May we be encouraged to allow Christ to use us afresh this year, today, this month. And that sense of urgency, not to delay anymore. Whatever hopes or dreams or whatever things we know that if only I've done that before, I had this opportunity to do this, or I know that I can paint or I can write poetry or I can write a book or write songs or I can make a good cup of tea. Coffee, not bad. Whatever it is, I can bake a good cake. Great. Get baking for Jesus. Make tea for Jesus. Write a song for Jesus. If you're great at welcoming, welcome for Jesus. Welcome your neighbour. Bake a cake for your neighbour. Surprise them. Whatever it may be. It's not what you see up front in the church. Oh, the musicians or the whatever. No, it's, we can all be used by God in whatever way, really, that we allow him to use us. As long as it's wholesome, I've said this before, or I'm going to go stabbing people for Jesus. No, because that would be ridiculous and wrong. But, you know, you get the point. And it doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are. God has not finished with us yet. That sense of urgency and joy and hope. So that was the message for today. A bit different to what it was going to be. But I really hope this is an encouraging, aspiring, filled with hope, and to know that we together are going to see so much more of God's kingdom come this year. I really believe that. But are we ready? Do we want this? Do we want to roll up our sleeves and really get in that place of prayer, worship, surrendering? I really hope and believe and trust that we're going to be a part of God's plans as a church, as individuals in this community. Amen. Amen. So we now come to share a meal together. It's quite wordy. If you want to stand up and move around a bit, then, you know, try not to fall to sleep. I'm doing all right. Okay. We're going to share in this meal. I think normally we would, if the service in a moment could come, and they're going to serve you where you are, up in the balcony in your seats here. So thank you so much for doing that. And thank you for preparing this morning as well for the communion. Just going to read out a few things. Are you ready to interact a little bit where you are with your hands? Probably thinking, what's he doing? Quick, explain. With your hands, then we're going to receive the wine and the bread, bread and the wine. Normally we would wait and share the wine together in one go. But for this morning, in your time, in your own time, receive the bread and drink the wine. So it's not going to be a, now we're all going to drink together. So just do that in your time. So, placing the palms of our hands on the table, or in this sense, could be on your laps or the chair in front. If you know the person in front of you, maybe on their shoulders. Ask him first. No, don't. Just keep it simple. We bring to mind the people we have spoken with today. Silently counting them with our fingers, if that helps. We thank you, God, for all those we share the days of our lives with. Now we turn over our hands and we look at our unique fingerprints. If you can see them. We bring to mind the different people who have left their gentle marks upon our lives today. Thank you, God, for all those who have touched us and encouraged us. Now, with one hand, we fold in our thumb and then each finger into a gentle fist as we think of those who are in particular need of God's touch, maybe even including ourselves, for God's healing, God's courage, and God's hope. And then silently, we name each person, aware of God's motherly love holding them. As a mother bird would take her chicks under her wing. I would also say fatherly love. Love. Finally, we place our other hand underneath our closed hand. We ask God to hold in the hollow of his hand all those we have prayed for and given thanks for today. Just in the moment of stillness, think of those around us in our communities, our neighbours, those we interact with. And with that message we heard as well this morning, just ask God, how can I help to reach out to these people? I give gratitude and thanks to those who are in my life, aware that there's so many more who I could take you and be you to and with. Just going to read out some prayers, and in this time of the steward team, those who are serving Holy Communion, to come and serve the church as I'm reading out these prayers. Then Ellie and I will start to lead some worship, and for you to receive the bread and the wine, knowing that Jesus' body was given to you, each and every one of us at home, watching online, listening to this at another point in time, and those here in this space. For you and I, all of us, Jesus Christ, perfect sacrifice, died on the cross, horrific death, but defeated death, defeated sin, and rose victorious. And then recognizing with the wine, it's a symbolic representation of Jesus Christ's blood that was sacrificed, that atonement sacrifice, so that when we put our hope and trust in Jesus Christ, that relationship is restored once again with God our Father. That perfect union in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, walking naked, unashamed. And then when sin entered, that barrier came. But Jesus dying, a perfect sacrifice, rose victorious, means that you and I can have that right relationship with God. Hallelujah. So please, if the team could come and start to serve, that would be great. I'm just going to read these prayers. Blessed are you, God, faithful and strong. All your works, the height and the depth, echo the silent music of your praise. In the beginning, your word summoned light, night withdrew, and creation dawned. Then, as if ages had passed unseen, waters gathered on the face of the earth, and life appeared. When at last the days had ripened and the earth was grown full in abundance, you created in your image man and woman, the stewards of all creation. You gave us breath and speech, that all the living might find a voice to sing your praise and to celebrate the creation you made and called good. All holy God, how wonderful is the work of your hands. Because sin rose up to leave a fault line, even in the earth, you stepped forward to enter into a covenant of peace that can renew the whole creation. You embrace the people as yours, filling them with a longing for peace that will last, a justice that will never fail. Through countless generations, your people hungered for the bread of freedom. From them, you raised up Jesus, your son, the living bread, in whom ancient hungers are satisfied. He healed the sick, though he himself would suffer. He offered life to sinners, though death would hunt him down. But with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms and surrendered his spirit. Eternal God, may you let your Holy Spirit move in power over us and over these earthly gifts of bread and wine, that we may have communion in the body and blood of Christ, and that in him we may become one.